We are somehow losing the postmoderns, and we have to change, amend who we are to bring them in. That's the idea, anyway. The appeal of the emerging church is really to the disenfranchised and those who are disappointed by the traditional church. And we have a lot of people out there like that who feel disenfranchised and disappointed by the traditional church. Particularly, the emerging church appeals to socially minded youth who have little understanding and even contempt for doctrine, absolutes, tradition, and history. It is a spirit of rebellion that really drives the emergent church movement, in my estimation. To emergence, Christianity should be experience over reason, spirituality over doctrine and absolutes, images over words, feelings over truth, earthly justice over salvation, and social action must take eminence over eternity. It's all about the here and now. And that's one of the biggest problems I got with the purpose-driven life. It's all about the here and now and nothing about eternity. So, you know, there's all these things that are out there, and the emergent church is just a part of it, that's for sure. They're not the first ones to come up with these ideas, but certainly they are the new liberalism. It is a complete redefinition of Christianity in our times. Now, you know, if you thought the devil was done when he got done destroying the Presbyterian Church and the Methodist Church and the Episcopalian Church and so many other churches out there, when he got done doctrinally taking them apart and planting people in their seminaries to continue to facilitate the false doctrines that are taught in so many of those seminaries. And I thank God, by the way, for Bible-believing, born-again Presbyterians and Methodists and Episcopalians. Don't get me wrong. And I know they're out there. But, you know, the devil wasn't satisfied by old-fashioned 150-year-old liberalism that has now taken over those great denominations. Now, remember, those denominations were what we would have called evangelicals. That's what they used to be, even though that term wasn't really being used then. But now he wants the evangelical people, he wants the evangelical church, he wants the circles that we thought we could trust. He wants the places we thought we could trust. And he's infecting them with the new liberalism in the form of the emergent church. The historic position of Christianity is that absolute truth comes from the Bible and everything else is subject to Scripture. But that's not so in the emerging church movement. In the emerging church movement, we are told that Christians have never perceived truth correctly. What we've always thought was truth is no longer reliable because we misunderstood the definitions of the words we draw the teachings from. And thus, the previous teachings we've received were incomplete, inaccurate, or just plain wrong. That's real convenient to come along and say, well, we never really understood the word salvation. It isn't really what it's been taught to be. It isn't what the church said it's been. We really never understood what it was to talk about the world. We never really understood what Jesus meant when he said that God so loved the world. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But that's the way they're redefining things. They're telling us that we've never understood definitions of terms. If you don't have that to go on, you have nothing. There's no way to dialogue. It's just like when the cults come along at your door, you better know that when a Mormon says salvation, he's not talking about through Jesus Christ. He's talking about through the church. When a Jehovah's Witness says Jesus, you got to know they're not talking about the one from the Bible. They're talking about Michael the Archangel. They're not talking about the same one. It's a redefinition of terms. The emerging church leaders have decided that classical, historical, and biblical Christianity does not fit into the current modern worldview, and thus they have elected to use the shell of Christianity, but not the truth of Christianity. And therein lies the difference. It's like I said a minute ago, when they use words that we relate to, don't get too excited because the words may have radically different meanings attached to them. Their epistemology is all off. That's the idea of how we come to the place of what knowledge is, where truths and beliefs intersect. But they have a skewed version or view of epistemology. It is completely subjective. It kind of dances around and moves without any moral absolutes to lock it down. And maybe the godfather of this movement is a man that I would probably really like if I were to meet him out in public and didn't know what he believed and didn't already know who he was and what he taught. I believe I would probably like the guy. I was around him for 3 days in February at a conference that he held. And I listened and I watched and I watched the way he operated and I thought he's a very likable guy. And that's part of the deal. I mean, this guy is so likable. Brian McLaren, National Public Radio religion speaker from the Leadership Network, from Youth Specialties, a pastor in Maryland, an author of 10 books, his latest one, Everything Must Change. He was named as one of Time Magazine's top 25 most influential evangelicals in America. Now, I usually don't go to Time Magazine to figure out who's who in Christianity, but that's who they named. They named him one of the top 25 most influential evangelicals. And that, I want you to underscore that term, evangelicals. They didn't say Christians. They didn't say liberals. They said evangelicals in America. And by the way, I have one more thing I want to say about that. I want to give you just an understanding of what the book Everything Must Change is all about. You know, look at the title, Everything Must Change. Now, get ready, because here it comes. That means everything must change. Just want to make sure nobody missed what that title meant. Because what he's saying is, we've never had it right, and now we have to change everything. The old is gone and the new has come in their minds. That's a picture I took myself at Brian McLaren's tour stop, the Everything Must Change tour stop in Nampa, Idaho. And that took place in February of this year, February, just a few months ago, in Nampa, Idaho. Now, here's the shocker. He was the speaker for the religion department, the theology department, at a major Christian university for a day and a half, and then his own tour, his own meeting started for a day and a half. So I got an email a few days before the meeting saying that as a bonus, if you wanted to come early, you could come and listen to him for 3 days. So I thought, well, I have nothing else to do. That's what I'm on my calendar that week, that I'm going to go do that. You know, I could stay home with my grandkids, but I'm going to go hear this guy for 3 days because I really want to know for sure. So myself and a pastor friend of mine from Gig Harbor, Washington, flew over to Boise, Idaho, to listen to him for 3 days. It was very tough to take. It was hard to take. We had to really pump each other up, convince each other that we wanted to go to all those sessions and all those meetings. But the shocking thing to me was, who was sponsoring Brian McLaren? It was Northwest Nazarene University. And I preach in a particular Nazarene church every year. One of my best friends in the world is a Nazarene. He is up in arms about what's going on down there. I found out when I was down there on the campus that the theology department is at odds with the other professors, because the theology department at that university doesn't believe in the six-day creation. And the other professors do, many of them. A friend of mine whose son tragically drowned when he was 16 is a Nazarene state elder and twice was a Nazarene national elder. There's a statue of my friend's drowned son on the campus at Northwest Nazarene. I called him each day I was down there. And several times before then, while I was there, and since then, he's been in tears with me over the state of the Nazarene church. Thank God there are still Bible-believing Nazarenes. Thank God there are still Bible-believing Methodists, like I said, and Presbyterians and others, and Lutherans. Amen? I preached in a Lutheran church here this summer, and those folks believe the Bible. I praise the Lord for that. I thank God for that. But I'm telling you, the places we once thought were okay, the places we once said, oh, they'll always believe the Bible, we better think again. We better think again. I believe that signals the end of the age we're in when it's like this. Now, the Friday night session of McLaren's tour stop there really was very telling. In fact, the songs we sung, any Wiccan priest in the audience would have sung them right along with us. I didn't sing. I stood and observed. I didn't participate. I was just sitting there in a seat, taking notes like crazy. And my friend Chris Baer, the pastor I was with, took more notes than I did. And what we found out there is posted on my website, both in Chris's words and my words. We posted both of the articles that came out of that particular time in Boise. These songs were morbid. There was no joy. There was no love of God. There was no expression of the worship of God in these songs. And I looked around at the 300 or so people that were in the audience several times and thought, these people have bought right into it. They've bought already into this, and now they've come just to be exhorted by the leader of the movement. Then they showed a film to us by the Sierra Club saying how badly humans had raped the planet. The Sierra Club, by the way, was a sponsor of Brian McLaren's tour as he toured nationally this year. And then began the complete redefinition of previously orthodox Christian terms. He began to tell us how this word didn't mean what we always thought, and that word didn't mean what we'd always thought. And then he kind of went like this and pointed to the mural of Charles and John Wesley and said, John Wesley was an emergent leader. You see, I've got it circled.